Right, Matthew chapter 7. I guess you've already turned there. I guess I need to turn there myself. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into the message this morning. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to preach your word. I thank you for the privilege of all of us being able to sing about your word, lifting our voices together in praise. And just ask God that you would now help us not to lift our voice, but to lift our hearts and our minds before you and be intent on hearing and heeding your word. The Lord will thank you for it. I ask that you would work through me this morning, Holy Spirit, and do that work that you alone can do, and we'll thank you for it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Growing up, there were some verses that everybody seemed to know. It didn't matter if you were saved or not saved. It didn't matter if you were churched or unchurched. There just seemed to be verses that everybody seemed to know. I sat in a foyer this morning and heard Nick mention one of them. And that's the very first verse I'm going to mention. And that would be what? John 3:16. You know, everybody just seemed to know that. I don't ever remember trying to memorize John 3:16. It's just like, it was just there. Just knew it. In fact, I think just about everybody in this auditorium knows. Why don't you say that with me? Let's begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let me just say this. There is no greater verse in all the Bible. In fact, one of my favorite tracks to use, you'll see that in both foyers, is that green track that says the greatest verse in the Bible. And it's all about John 3:16. There is something special. I was hearing Nick's testimony this morning. It's something special about knowing, finding out that God really loves you. He really loves you. And I don't know everybody here this morning. I just want you to know this. Whether I've known you for a long time or I've known you very short time, I want you to know that God loves you. And he loved you so much, he proved his love for you by sending his Son to die for you. Why did he die? Because he doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to face eternal wrath. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that was my destination until I found out that God loved me and sent his only begotten Son for me. And he died on Calvary's cross. Just we sang about that a few moments ago. Listen. He died on Calvary's cross for the purpose of taking your sin and paying that debt that was owed to a holy God. He paid your debt in full. You don't have to pay anything. It's already been paid. And Jesus Christ wants to give you eternal life and forgive your sin. So if you're here this morning, you say, I don't know that I've ever asked Christ to pay my sin debt and ask him to come into life and be my Savior. Here's the good news. You don't even have to wait for the invitation right now. Right where you sit. Just as a thief on the cross said, God, be merciful to me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The publican there in the temple, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The attitude of your heart, God, I'm willing to turn my sin over to you, and I believe that your Son died for me, and I receive him as my Savior. You could do that right now where you're seated. Amen. Greatest verse in the Bible. And there are some other verses that people just seem to know. When I was growing up. And one of those verses is what we find here in Matthew 7:1. In fact, it's interesting. Somebody said to me this week, you know, I know another verse that everybody seemed to know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that's true too, that everybody seems to know that verse. But that's a phrase of the verse. But everybody can quote this verse word perfectly. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Now, and I've heard people say that have nothing to do with church. They're not interested in God's word. But somehow, like John 3:16, they just kind of know that verse. I think sometimes it's used as a defense mechanism when people get convicted about something in their life. And the first thing we want to do is throw that up. Well, judge not, lest you be judged, you know. That you be not judged. But I want you to look with me this morning, because to isolate that verse, and does your God a disservice. You have to look at the entire thought. So I want you to look at verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, going through verse 5. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I don't think we need, as Paul said, it's all Greek to me, I don't think we need a Greek lesson on what the word judge means. But I think it's important that we understand that we all judge. And that attitude of the word judge is, you are making a distinction about whether something is profitable for you or is going to be a hindrance to your life. You're making a decision about something that is either good or bad. There is, if you would, an implication to this word, and that is you are possibly condemning something. And by the way, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You want to condemn the things that are hurtful, and you want to approve the things that are good. The Word of God teaches us that. So we find the Word of God, especially the New Testament, dealing with the subject of judgment. And I want you to look at a couple other passages here with me. I want you to look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 54. Luke chapter 12, verse 54. In verse 54 he says, and he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat. And it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Notice that last verse. Why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? And then a third passage, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and I want you to look at verse 21. John chapter 7, verse 21. He again is speaking to the people, and he says, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, I want to ask you, do you see any similarities in these three passages? Well, let me point out two similarities. Back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, the first two words, thou hypocrite. Luke chapter 12, verse 56, ye hypocrites. John chapter 7, verse 23, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? The attitude of hypocrisy. Here is what our Savior is saying concerning the subject of judgment. Listen, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Secondly, in all three passages, Jesus acknowledges the necessity that you and I must judge. Now, when you isolate Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged, you lose the truth of the impact of that statement unless you take the full passage into account. Unless you compare Scripture with Scripture. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, he concludes the thought by saying, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now notice, Jesus did not say, now you just don't judge anybody, and if you see something wrong, you just say, well, you know what, it's none of my business, and I shouldn't judge, I shouldn't condemn. No, that's not what he said. He said, don't you dare be a hypocrite. And hypocrisy comes in that thought. Listen, You see a mote in your brother's eye, but you have a beam in your own eye. Now, when you hear the word beam, you get this mental image. If you were to go over my house, it's built several years ago, and you don't have the normal floor joists that you would see. You know, when you go down to the basement, you see these big logs, these big beams. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying. He said, you are worried about a mote in your brother's eye, and you've got a log. You've got a tree. You've got a beam sticking out of your own eye. You deal with your own issues first. You judge yourself first before you go judging others. But you'll notice, he says, once you have cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to do what? To cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Well, what is a mote? You know, normally when you think about a mote, you think about a castle and that body of water that surrounds it to protect the castle. That's not the mote he's speaking of. The mote is not a speck either. And sometimes I hear men preach and say, well, it's this little speck. Listen, if you got a speck, no one's going to notice your speck. There are some things that you deal with spiritually and I deal with spiritually that others are not aware of. And that's why we go before the Holy Spirit and say, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. But sometimes people have a mote in their eye. What is a mote? It is a twig or a piece of straw. Now listen. If somebody has a twig in their eye, you're going to see it. If they have a piece of straw, I was just out on the Noss farm yesterday, and if you got a piece of straw, you're going to notice a piece of straw or a twig hanging out of somebody's eye. Now, if you see a twig or a piece of straw hanging out of somebody's eye, you come to this assumption, you come to this judgment. They're hurting. They need help. They need to get that removed. And maybe they can't do themselves. And God says there's nothing wrong with that. You need to cast out that mote out of your brother's eye. But don't be hypocritical. Cast out the beam that is sticking out of your own eye first. Notice also in Luke chapter 12, in verse 57, he says, why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Jesus Christ does not say don't judge. He says, no, you judge, but you judge what is right. And then John chapter 7, verse 24. Simple words. Judge, righteous, judgment. Judge, righteous, judgment. Here's the reality. Judging is a needful part of my daily life. And it's a needful part of your daily life. There is a continual acknowledgement in the Scripture of the necessity to judge. And it's filled throughout the New Testament, especially in a few books. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, you hear Paul say this, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Now, Paul, as an apostle and the founder of the church at Corinth, said, when you hear me through my writings or through my spoken word, I want you to be a wise man, and I want you to judge what I say. I realize that every time I have stood in this pulpit for my 20 years of ministry in this place, whether as assistant pastor or as head pastor for these 15 years, every time I have stood in this pulpit, you are judging me. I didn't say you're necessarily condemning me, but you are judging me. And over the years, I've had a few people who have come in here and heard me one time, and they have said, I will never come back to this place again. I don't like what he said, and I will not return. I've had others who have come and stayed for a matter of a few months, or even a few years, and they come to the point where they say, I don't agree with what he is saying, and therefore I choose to break fellowship with this place. You make a judgment every time you walk in these doors. Sometimes as God speaks through me, God's Holy Spirit deals with you. And as he deals with you, listen, you can't be neutral. You either do what the Holy Spirit says, or you reject what the Holy Spirit says. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that people can only deal with God here at the altar. I think it's a profitable thing to come to the altar. I think it's a humbling thing. But I realize that sometimes people can stand or sit where they are and and submit to the Holy Spirit. But now listen, I'm also not naive enough to think that there are not times where people say no to the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know that should change in my life. Oh, I know I should be doing that, but I'm choosing not to. You see, no matter who you are, man or woman, boy or girl, listen, you're going to make a judgment today. You will judge. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, that your love may abound yet more and more, that sounds good, doesn't it, in knowledge and, now listen to this, in all judgment. I know there are parents who don't love their children. But the vast majority of parents do love their children. But there are parents who love their children, but do not do it according to knowledge, and certainly not in all judgment. You know, Lonis and Cheryl are back from California. Lonis was introduced to this church, and they began to attend because of a tragedy that happened on this property. Back in the 90s, about 3 or 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning, a family down Oral Lake Road decided to throw a party for their 16-year-old son. I think they loved him. You don't normally throw parties for a child you don't love. They decided to throw a keg party for a boy who was about to turn 16. And so they had their keg party. And they became very drunk. And that boy, along with some of his friends, about 4 o'clock in the morning, got in a car and drove down Oral Lake Road. And when they were coming around this curve, going so fast, in his inebriated state, lost control, hit the retaining wall right at the steps of the prophet's chamber. The car went airborne, flipped over, and landed on the gas meter on this bank and sent some people into eternity. If that parent were to have stood there and you had said, "Do you love your son?" I think you'd have heard these words, "Oh yes, I love my son." If you were to assess, did that person love them with knowledge and in all judgment, you would say, "No." Oh, no question that they loved their son, but they did not use good judgment that night, and it cost them dearly. It cost them. God says, you must judge. Every parent in this room must make judgments about their children. It has to be done. Yes, you love them, but you must do it with knowledge, the knowledge of God's word, and in all judgment, doing what God wants you to do. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says this, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." Now, the next time somebody says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Now, you listen, and that's normally the way to say it. You just take them to 1 Corinthians 2:15 and you say, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." Because when you are walking with God, you make a judgment about everything. Should I watch this program? Should I listen to this music? Should I dress this way? Should I hang out with these people? Do all to the glory of what? God. Do it to His glory. And you know what? You have to make judgments to make sure that the things you are doing are going to bring glory to Him. Go with me to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now this may surprise some of you. I hope not. I hope you say, "I've read that 100 times, Pastor. I already know this." Look at these words. "Do ye not know that the saints," that's you and me, those of us who are saved, "shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren." Now stop and listen to me. Think about this. Paul just said to the Corinthian church, and the Holy Spirit is saying to you, You are going to judge the lost world. You are going to judge, you are going to judge the angelic host. And you are expected to judge your brethren. Don't tell me, oh no, we're not supposed to judge anything. Because if I have that attitude, then I'm violating the scripture and showing ignorance toward it. Paul said, don't you understand this? You're going to judge angels. You're going to judge the world. You're supposed to be judging your brethren. But don't do it with hypocrisy. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, just one chapter back, and look at verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, or for them, for then ye must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? In other words, those who are lost outside the church. Do not ye judge them that are within? Is it not your responsibility? Is it not my responsibility to judge those within the church? But them that are without, God judgeth. Those who are lost, the lost and dying world, that's God's realm. But God says there's a responsibility for believers to judge one another. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And here's the point. It is a misnomer. And many Christians have this attitude. No one can judge me, and I shouldn't be judging others. That is not true. Amen. That is not true. But there is a right way to judge. And I want to give you three things this morning before we close that are necessary for us to judge, as Jesus said, righteous judgment. That we judge the right way. Number one, don't be a hypocrite. First, judge yourself. If you're taking notes, number one, don't be a hypocrite. First, judge yourself. I would say this, if you're not willing to judge yourself, then you should not judge others. 1 Corinthians 11:31, listen to these words. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, what is that? What is the implication there? That you're supposed to judge yourself. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now think about this. It will make you confront the reality of your own life. Why should you judge yourself? Because it will make you confront the reality of your own life. In other words, you will have to deal with your sin. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to this verse. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest another. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. And here is the problem with judging. When I don't judge myself first and don't deal with my sin, I am like the man in Matthew chapter 7 with a beam sticking out my own eye. I'm not dealing with my own sin and trying to correct somebody else's. God says, that's hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy. Don't judge others until you have first judged yourself. You judge yourself because it will cause you, secondly, to walk in a spirit of humility. It will cause you to walk in a spirit of humbleness. Galatians 6:1 says this, brethren, if a man be taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I want you to think of this verse and what it's really telling us. He says, number one, you have to be spiritual. That doesn't mean I'm better than thou. It doesn't mean walking around with your nose stuck up in the air and you got this, family-sized Bible under your arm. That's not what spiritual is. Spiritual is being in tune with the Holy Spirit of God so the Holy Spirit can say, stop what you're doing right now. Every morning, I pray to the Holy Spirit. And I say to him, you say one of your jobs is to convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Do that in me. Reveal to me where I'm failing. Reveal to me where I have sin. Reveal it to me. I don't want to walk around with sin plaguing my life and hindering me. When you go in this attitude of judgment, you better make sure you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, that you are spiritual, and not with the attitude of destroying someone, but restoring someone. Now listen, I'm going to be honest. There have been some people in the past in this congregation, our church family, who have gone into sin, and I've confronted them, and they've chosen to leave. I didn't approach them with the spirit of being better than them. I approached them with the spirit of humility. They chose to walk away from this congregation and continue in their sin. But brother, sometimes people see it and they get restored. My goal is not to destroy someone. My goal, let's just say Joe Jones has this big bad sin in their life and it's obvious to everyone. They've got a straw, a moat hanging out of their eye. Well, I've gone before the Holy Spirit. I have come in an attitude of seeking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me any sin so that I do not approach this brother in the wrong way. And my attitude is not to destroy him. He's messing his life up so bad, I'm just going to help drive him all the way into the ground. No, that's not my attitude. My attitude should be to see him restored, to see him get right. My soul-winning partner down in Atlanta almost destroyed his life. Left his wife, got involved in an affair, almost committed suicide one night. I never forget that night. It was a Wednesday night. We knew he was on the verge of suicide. The ladies stayed in the auditorium. Men went down to the basement of the church. We prayed and prayed and prayed. And God spared him from committing suicide. He got out of the affair, got back with his wife, and got back to serving God again. That's the goal, brother. That's the goal. And during that time, I didn't try to press down on him. I just tried to love him. I didn't condone his sin. Just tried to help him see the error and see him get right with God. Restore such an one. Then he says, in the spirit of meekness. In other words, you go before someone, and it is an attitude of judgment, brother. You go with an attitude of humility, humbleness. Because I could be in the same shoes next week. If you think you're not capable of falling, to him that thinketh he standeth, do what? Take heed, lest you fall. Go with the spirit of meekness. And then he says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Again, we could be in the same boat. So, don't be a hypocrite. First, judge yourself so that you will do what? Judge righteous judgment. Secondly, don't be a hypocrite. Don't judge another person's motives. When we're talking about judgment, I'm talking about with another brother in Christ. I think the Holy Spirit basically limits it to the attitude of seeing sin in their life. You can't judge another believer's motives. Let me show you here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And I believe what Paul is doing here is confronting those believers at Corinth who were judging Paul's motives. We're judging Paul's apostleship. Listen, here's the problem with trying to judge another brother's motives. You can't see their heart. And he said there's going to come a day of judgment before the throne of Jesus Christ. And then he'll reveal the hidden things of darkness. And then he will manifest the counsels of the heart. You account. You conclude that I'm just a servant of Christ and I'm doing what I believe God wants me to do, and you cannot tell what's in my heart. One day God will reveal it. It's not your place to judge. Listen, we got a lot of people who do ministries here in this church. And if I'm not careful, I can be this way toward people. I go around sometimes and listen to our different teachers, and I can come, I don't think they prepared very well. I don't think their heart's in it. I don't think they're doing it for the glory of God. Who died and made me God? No one. I'm not God. I'm not Jesus Christ. And it is not my right to judge somebody's motive. I don't care if it's teaching a Sunday school class, preaching a sermon, singing in the choir, whatever it may be. I don't know why people do what they do. Therefore, that is off limits to me. Well, I found myself with that kind of spirit. But you know what? I've learned over the years that's not right. That's not right. Paul says, listen, don't you be a hypocrite. Don't judge somebody's motives. I don't know why people always do what they do. It's made me very, very cautious about seeming to condemn and judge other people's ministries. I know we independent Baptist preachers are very guilty of this, judging another man's ministries. Now, I'm an independent, fundamental King James Baptist man, and I always will be. I have a desire to be nothing else. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are churches in this area that are not King James, they are not independent Baptists, that are still preaching the gospel. And it's none of my business what they do, and I have no right to condemn them. Because I begin to judge their motives, and that's wrong. Third and final thing today. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't judge another man's convictions and liberties. Don't judge another man's convictions and liberties. And just quickly go to Romans chapter 14, and we'll look at a few verses here. Romans chapter 14. Verses 10 through 13. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? And that attitude of setting at naught means you're despising your brother. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather. Now here again, notice he said there is an attitude of judgment. Judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. There are some things in my life I will not do. And I know there are other Christians who do those things. I've come to the point in my ministry where I've just made a decision. I am not going to condemn people for things that become personal preferences or personal convictions or attitudes of liberty in Christ. There are times where somebody says, I have a liberty to do this in Christ. And it's like, I don't understand that. I don't see that I can help them. But you know what? If it's not out and out sin, that's between them and their God. To their own master they stand or fall. And I'm not their master. I believe that the church has to have standards, the way we conduct ourselves in public ministry. But I'm not like some pastors who go to your home and say, get rid of this, get rid of that, and quit dressing that way, and do this and do that. And listen, you say, oh, that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. We're not going to be a cult. And I am not going to play the Holy Spirit. So, God says, I want to warn you about your liberties, that you can take liberties, and he says, use it, Peter said, you can use it as a cloak of maliciousness, like a cover, to do things that you're professing Christian liberty, and what you're doing is you're sinning, you're doing wicked things. He said, don't you dare use your liberty for that. But when it comes to my attitude toward you, or your attitude toward other Christians, he said, listen, Don't judge their liberties and don't judge their convictions. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't judge in that way. I said that was one more. Actually, there's another one. So I did not purposely try to lie to you. I just made a mistake. Anyway. Okay, one more. Don't be a hypocrite. Judge your own motives, your own convictions, and your own liberties. I know it's getting late, so I'm not going to go to the scripture, but let me give you the scriptural passage, Romans 14, verses 14 through 21. Study this out. Sometimes I can use the cloak of Christian liberty to do things that are not right and are not profitable, and know it in my heart. Therefore, I must judge. I can't judge, since Lannis is back, I'll pick on him. I can't judge Lannis's convictions, but I can sure judge my own. And if I will judge my own, then I'll have too much to do to worry about judging Lannis's. Listen, don't be a hypocrite. Judge your own motives, your own convictions, and your own liberties. And then you'll judge righteous judgment. You'll consider yourself first, as Matthew 7:3 says. And your attitude will be to seek to deliver people, not to condemn people. I close with this. In fact, I'll have you turn as we close this morning. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Look at verses 11 and 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? I'm not the lawgiver, nor are you. Therefore, my place is not to condemn someone, and that's the attitude here. My role as a believer in the attitude of judgment is to seek to restore a brother or a sister who is in obvious sin. My job is to seek to deliver them and warn them, but not to condemn them, not to try to destroy them. It's an interesting passage in Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. And that's the attitude that Jesus Christ taught. Don't hate a person. Don't seek to condemn a person. But when you see they are in obvious sin, you rebuke them. For what purpose? To see them made right. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And so, judge righteous judgment. Don't avoid judgment, but don't be hypocritical in judgment. First, judge yourself. Judge yourself so that when you see a brother or a sister who is in obvious sin, you can help restore them. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't judge another person's motives. Don't judge another person's convictions or their liberties. Judge your own. And if you will approach judgment in this way, the way Jesus Christ prescribes, you will judge righteous judgment. Now I ask you a question. When you look at other people, have you found yourself being judgmental about their motives? Have you been judgmental towards someone not because of obvious sin, but because you don't agree with their position, whatever it may be. Listen, what is your heart? The only thing I ask you to do, if your means of judgment, the mode of judgment that you're using is not according to Christ, that this morning before you walk out those doors, that you simply go before Him and say, God, I want to follow Your word, and I want to judge the right way. Not avoid judgment, because you tell me not to avoid it. You said, I'm to judge. I'm going to judge the world one day. I'm going to judge angels one day. I'm supposed to judge brethren. But to do it the right way, God. Would you do that this morning? Would you do that? Now, before I close, there's a judgment that's already been accomplished. The judgment for sin there in Calvary. Christ was judged in your place. Paid your debt so that you don't have to be judged. You never have to stand before the great white throne and fear hearing the words, depart from me, I never knew you. You can be saved if you're not saved today. So you don't know Him, while we sing here in a moment and give this time of inviting you to come, we encourage you to come and make Christ your own Savior. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed. We'll pray and give you an opportunity to respond if you need to this morning. Father, I thank You for Your word. And if there is, again, somebody here that doesn't know Your Son, help them understand You desire not to judge him for sin. You've already did that. You poured that out upon Your Son. You want to forgive them, make them part of Your family. I pray they'd understand that. Holy Spirit, help them understand that. Come to Christ today. For me and others, Lord, help us to judge righteous judgment. Not shirk our responsibility, just do it without hypocrisy, doing it in the way that you command. And God will thank You for it. We pray in Jesus' name with our heads bowed.